Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you use it to your advantage. It's all there for you, just for free. Thanks to our outstanding corporate partners. We appreciate them, and we hope you do, too. When you get to my website, there are a lot of things you can do. You can listen to archives and read articles and find out how our Brain Trust members, who they are and what they do and how they might be able to help you. And also, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out our blog while you're there as well. Rick Rickerson is an old friend of ours, ladies and gentlemen. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. The last time he was with us, he was talking about how to buy your own company. His book, Buyout, The Insider's Guide to Buying Your Own Business. And now he's got a new book out that's outstanding. It's called Sell Your Business Your Way. Rick is a managing partner of Pine Creek Partners, a Washington, D.C.-based private equity firm. And he's our good friend. Rick, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Good morning. It's great to be on with you.
It's good to have you back. We've missed you.
Well, thank you so much. You know, it takes a while to get one of these books out, Jim. And but
the gestation.
It's been great fun, and it's always so rewarding working with entrepreneurs, as you know, better than anybody. And it's exciting to have something out there.
Well, you know, the gestation period of a book doesn't have any specific timeline, and sometimes it's 9 months, sometimes it's more like an elephant, 21 months, you know. But anyway, I'm glad it's out and it looks good. Rick, I was telling the audience before you got here that everyone who owns a business is going to exit that business one way or another. You're either going to do it in a planned method where you benefit from all the hard work you did and someone else pays you for that benefit and you walk out, you know, fat, dumb, and happy, or maybe fat and not so dumb and happy. Or you might be carried out.
Yeah.
Kicking and screaming or in a body bag. But the point is that you are going to exit your business. Why not do it the smart way?
Well, Jim, you're so right. And what has amazed me over the many years of working with entrepreneurs and investing in and buying companies is how good entrepreneurs are at running their businesses day to day and making all the trains run on time. But when it comes to this, what is really the most important transaction of their careers potentially is they just don't do the planning. They don't, you know, they feel like it's another world, that whole M&A world. It seems intimidating on the surface, and it's really not. But entrepreneurs really do need to plan for their exit a couple years in advance. You really need to start thinking about it. It doesn't mean it's going to happen on that timeline, but you have to make sure all the building blocks are in place.
Well, and you know, when I think of a small business owner, most of the ones that I know, Rick, thinking about somebody else having their business, never mind the money involved. I mean, as Monty Python might say, you know, money don't enter into it, you know, because they're so in love with their business that it's like trying to take a twin cubs away from a she bear. You know, it's they just love
it. You're so right. People get so emotionally attached, and it is there a lot for a lot of folks. There's so much of their lives and their identity tied up in it. The original working title of the book was "Selling Your Baby," which is because that's what it is for the entrepreneur.
Yes, exactly. That's
but
exactly
you know,
right.
there are a lot of great opportunities post selling the company and being able. I think there's a lot of opportunity for these hardworking entrepreneurs to relax a little bit and do things differently. But people get emotionally attached, and one of the things I really advise entrepreneurs, if they do want to sell, is to not be do your best to not be emotional about it, because I think it really hurts you in the sale process. One of the things I've seen many times is entrepreneurs who are very emotionally attached. Of course, they always think their company is much better than anybody else's company out there.
Oh, yeah,
and that's
of course.
Fine. But you know, when it comes to valuing the business, a lot of entrepreneurs think for whatever reason, theirs should be twice as valuable as anybody else's, and they're not rational about the valuation metrics when it comes to getting a deal done, and it hurts them. And maybe they don't get the sale done, their business turns down, and things get worse after the fact. So they just really need to try to distance themselves from the emotional piece as much as possible.
Absolutely. My mother used to say, everyone's crow is the blackest.
That's exactly right, Jim. That's exactly right. And everybody thinks their business is the most beautiful.
Well, okay. So now you said something a minute ago about a couple of years in advance.
Yeah.
You said a couple, but you didn't really mean two, did you? You just meant, a lot of businesses probably need to get started maybe 5 years in advance.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things is a little example in the book about what Sam Walton did when he was building Walmart. Is one of the things he did shrewdly and very early on is he had family members in the business, and he gifted bits of stock to them on a tax-free basis very early on because he was doing that very smart family transition planning. You know, the company was never sold, but 15, mm-hmm. 20 years in advance. And the tax laws are, if you've got family members that you want to get some stock to, you need to do that stuff early on. But, you know, you also need to think, I think small business owners, it's smart for them to get audited financials in advance, a couple,
yep.
2-3 years of a sale.
Yep.
A lot of business owners, they don't want to spend the money on that, and I understand that. But in this crazy Sarbanes-Oxley world we live in, buyers like to see audited financials. And if you don't have those, you're either going to be forced to get them as part of a sale, or your price is not going to be as high.
Isn't an audited financial statement virtually, not having audited statements, isn't that virtually a deal killer when people like you and other folks who are in the acquisition business, when they're helping business, when they're buying business, isn't that basically a door opener?
Well, I think it really is nearly a deal killer. There are still a handful of folks out there that will buy a company which just has reviewed financials. But in that circumstance, they still bring in their own accounting firm,
mm-hmm.
If it's part of the deal, to go and look through all the books and records. But you're just so much better off. It's always amazed me, entrepreneurs. You know, gosh, it's so penny wise and pound foolish to not get those audits. It just shocks me. It's because it just is a direct, it has a direct economic valuation or economic impact on the valuation of your company. If you don't have audits, people don't trust your numbers, and you're not going to get a good deal done. It's very straightforward.
I'll tell you something else. Of course, most candidates for a buyout to be bought out by someone, especially a larger organization that would really give you multiples because they could do the most with your company.
Yep.
Most candidates for that are already borrowing money. They're already doing business in the marketplace with other parties that are requiring audited financial statements. But the other thing, in addition to the audit, the financial information, it says an awful lot about the professionalism of the owners and the managers when they have those statements. And I want you to talk to us about that when we come back. We're gonna continue to sell this business, folks, with our good friend Rick Rickardson right after these messages. The book is called Sell Your Business Your Way. 20 after. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Rick Rickardson, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, now with a brand new book, Sell Your Business Your Way. Rick, tell us where the book's available.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jim. It's in some bookstores, but mainly Amazon.com, I think, is the best place to get it. And I've got a little website for both of the books called SellYourBusinessBook.com, SellYourBusinessBook.com, or BuyoutBook.com. They're both on the same little website for the books.
What about your own company?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, our firm is called Pine Creek Partners, and we invest in small, non-technology companies. Love to invest with folks. We've got a $50 million fund, and the people can learn all about that at pinecreekpartners.com.
So you actually buy companies that actually make stuff.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We don't do any technology investing. I applaud technology investors, but that's not our strategy. We invest in basic manufacturing businesses and some service businesses, but we've invested in a government contractor. We're looking to invest in a company that makes the very exciting product of foam for packaging and, you know, the good basic industry stuff.
Well, I'm glad to know that. I'm glad to know that there are people out there who are going after the bedrock companies. And I'll tell you something else, Rick. As I travel around meeting small businesses across the country, as I speak to groups around and working with the SBA and other groups who have some of the finest companies in the country who are their members, I'm continuing to see more and more manufacturing pop up. And Rick, it's 21st century manufacturing.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's small business manufacturing. I've actually met in the last year, I have met several people who were starting a manufacturing company, manufacturing startups in the United States. Now, who would have thunk it 5 years ago?
It's unbelievable. No, it's fantastic. And there are some great companies all around the Mid-Atlantic area that are doing really exciting stuff, terrific companies.
Absolutely. It's very exciting. And I wonder what Lou Dobbs is going to have to say about all that one of these days.
Well, Lou's going to be pretty surprised to find out that there's a very robust manufacturing economy in the U.S., led by entrepreneurs who
absolutely.
Create all the jobs in any case.
Yeah, he's going to be out of a job one of these days because of that. Hey, let's get back to this audited financial statement. Folks, we're talking about some things that you need to do to sell your business. And Rick is going to be back with us. We're going to do a series on selling your business. So we're going to take this one step at a time. The financials have got, if someone said, okay, Blasting Game, you and Rick said earlier, you know, you ought to start maybe as much as 5 years ahead of when you want to sell, getting things ready. What do you work on that early? Well, you work on the financials, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Jim. And there are other things that people need to be thinking about, and it's a little bit counterintuitive. And one of the things I try, you know, I'm a buyer of companies, and I try to put, I think it's very important for you, for the seller to put on the buyer's hat. You know, you've really got to wear the buyer's hat. And one of the things that the business owner needs to do that's a little bit counterintuitive as he's preparing to sell is to make himself less important in the business. It's very important, you know, that if you're buying a company that's really dependent entirely upon one person, that's very risky. And I really counsel business owners to make themselves less critical, to make it a company that can run when they're not there. And I think they'll get paid a higher price then, you know, to build an infrastructure around them. And so the buyer can say, hey, there's a real company here. It's not just a one-man or one-woman show.
You have to be able to find your success in the aggregation of the success of others, don't you?
You sure do. You sure do. Yeah, it's so important. It's so important. You build a nice, robust company with a good, diverse customer base and a good management team, and I guarantee you, you'll have very, very good exit opportunities.
Isn't that typically, though, what you find when you're looking for a company to buy? If they look good in the classic things that you're looking for to buy a business or to invest in a business. Isn't the fact that the boss has found a way to clone him or herself, isn't that kind of typical?
You know, it is. Yeah, the good ones, Jim, absolutely. The boss has cloned himself. He's got a very good number two person or senior management team that's doing a great job. The boss could go on vacation for 2, 3, 4 weeks and all the trains would run on time, absolutely. But you still see companies where, for example, and we're looking at one now, Jim, the customer relationships all reside with the entrepreneur.
Wow.
And we're looking at a deal. It's a $65 million company. But the founder really owns all of the customer relationships, and they're very personal relationships. He's always playing golf with the customers.
Yeah.
And it worries us because, you know, this entrepreneur is not going to be there anymore. He wants to retire, and that's great. And so, you know, again, it's very much, the business is very much linked to him, and it just makes you a little bit nervous.
And the challenge is you've got to figure out how to get inside the head of those customers to see if they'll play ball with you after he's gone without telling the world that their business, that the deal's going through.
That is exactly right, Jim, and that is really tricky. Boy, well, hopefully we'll spend the show on some of the communication issues related to the sale of a company because it's very, very tricky stuff. But you're absolutely right. That's the big trick for us in this deal. How do we figure out what the customers are thinking? Do they buy the stuff because they love playing golf with this guy in Las Vegas, or do they buy it because it's a great service provided by a great company? It's a tricky one.
Well, and the thing to remember, folks, is that whether you are a $200,000 a year company or a $65 million a year company, it's not a good idea for everything in the business to be, you know, all around, all about you. And even though it's tough when you're small, you got to be working toward cloning yourself. Rick, looking forward to getting you back again. Thanks for being here.
The book. Congrats on your success, Jim. Great to be with you.
Thank you. Rick Rickertsen, ladies and gentlemen. Rickertsen. The book is called Sell Your Business Your Way at Amazon and wherever books are sold. Quick break. Right back after these messages with Tom Asecker.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.